Hello, you guys. Welcome back to Best Self Radio. I'm your host, Haley James. This week, I'm interviewing JoJo of Body by JoJo. Her and her husband run an online fitness studio, and she also became a mother about a year and a half ago. So this conversation really centers around, one, the way that they run their studio, how it differs from other businesses, and how much I really respect what they are doing in the online fitness space, as well as just her journey giving birth, you know, working out throughout her pregnancy and postpartum, you know, any criticisms maybe she got or just things that she would educate her audience, friends, family on going through this experience. So if you are either a mother, soon to be mother, maybe you are pregnant at the moment, this conversation is going to be really powerful for you. But if not, if you're maybe an entrepreneur or even just looking for an online studio, online fitness classes to get involved with, you guys are going to get a lot from this episode and I can't wait to share it with you. So without further ado, let's jump into this episode with JoJo. Hello, you guys. Welcome back to Best Self Radio. I'm super excited to have on a guest this week. So without further ado, we're just going to get right into her story. She's going to tell us all about her, her business, and as well, we're going to jump into some motherhood and pregnancy talk today. So I'm really excited about that. JoJo, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm very excited to chat today, a little bit of motherhood, fitness, and all that good stuff. But my name's JoJo. I grew up as a dancer. I've been dancing since, I don't know, like 3 years old. And I was always obviously coming from that background, very self-conscious of my body, very focused on getting skinny, losing weight, that kind of thing. It was just really ingrained into us, unfortunately, as dancers. Mm. And wasn't really into working out by any means, more like we would work out as you know, a way to kind of like lose weight. It was always a negative thing. It was never something positive. And I met my now husband about 10-ish years ago, let's say that. Mm. And he was a personal trainer and he introduced me to strength training. And I was like, oh, wow, like this is making me feel good. This is making me feel strong. And like kind of ended up giving me that confidence that I was looking for from like trying to get skinnier, but I got it from getting stronger. And I was hired at a studio in Toronto to teach barre, which is like a blend of fitness and dance. So that was kind of how I got into that world. But essentially, once I realized how good it felt to like lift weights and eat more, and he really kind of taught me that like, I don't need to eat so little, I can really fuel my body and that's going to make me feel good. And then a lot of these women that I was teaching in my classes were like, what are you doing? Like, how are you like getting fit and like all this stuff. And so they were asking a lot of what I had done. And I realized that like most people don't know that. Most women, at least at the time that I knew, weren't really strength training. They were using really light weights because they were afraid of getting bulky. And a lot of women were under eating. And I was like, you know what? This is like something that I really want to share with other people, other women, how to focus on getting strong over getting skinny. And so I, you know, did my personal training, Pilates instructor, pre and postnatal, fitness and nutrition coaching. So that kind of spiraled into my online coaching business. And then COVID spiraled into us opening an online membership. So essentially we're like a studio, but online. So it's not a platform where you just go and have a bunch of videos and you can just like do a recorded class. We do have recordings, but we have live classes Monday through Saturday. So there's a class that you can actually attend at a scheduled time, kind of like you would if you were going to a studio or going to the gym.
Yeah.
And then that recording is also available for our clients. And we do them in 4-week programs so that we focus on progressive overload, making sure that we are like really focused on strength training. And that's how our members are, you know, able to get really good results from home.
Yeah. Amazing. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing that story. Yeah, there's a few things off. So first off, I don't even know if you know a few of like the connections or touch points of us. So I went to one of your barre classes like way back and I didn't even know, like I like remembered that like years later. And then also, were you not the, like maybe not an owner or like a co-manager or something of Loft Cycle Club?
Yes. So what happened when Loft opened, they hired me to be like a program director.
Gotcha.
So I came up with their class programming and like, I was never really a cycler, but I had a lot of experience with, at my bar studio, I used to teach other teachers. So I had a lot of experience with teaching and queuing and form and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of helped them as they opened with their teachers, and then also creating like a strength Pilates stretch style of program. Oh, and that's how I kind of remember you from, is from Loft.
Okay, cool. So you do. Cause I was like, I don't know. Cause like, I like kind of did, but then again, like it was just like so many years ago, but yeah, it was really like a few parallels. So yeah, I think I like, you were there for like the addition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that probably like, obviously, yeah, like your whole background, I guess, like from dance and then into bar, and then so, like really helped a lot with one, creating like your own studio, all of like the class structuring, like all of that kind of stuff. Cause yeah, you have a very unique platform that you like, and you obviously, you know this, I'm sure, cause you probably study other models, but like a unique, cause a lot of it is just pre-recorded, right? Kind of, and then also your element you bring in like with the progressive overload, which obviously I appreciate so much. And I'm sure your members do through seeing the results versus just kind of like random classes that they're doing, which unfortunately often is an element of online training, right?
For sure, for sure. And I think that that's the hard thing. Even when you're living in a city and you're doing ClassPass, you're going to random classes. Like, to a certain extent, you'll see results, but that's if you're very new and you haven't been introduced to a lot of the exercises before, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like there was nothing out there. There was either like coaching one-on-one, where it's obviously more high ticket, and like a PDF style program or like an app.
Yeah.
But there was no like coach led classes that were focused on progressive overload. And we were like, hey, this is the program that we're working on. You're going to be increasing your weights or your time under tension or whatever. And I wasn't seeing any of that in that class style environment. And especially from home, because I think obviously during COVID, we didn't have a choice, and that's kind of how it started. But then so many of our members who used to go to the gym or used to go to studios were like, I'm saving 40 minutes a day
for sure
to like not travel to and from my workout. I had the space for it. It's working really well for me. And like people just wanted to keep that at home. So it is unique. It's also, we're like a small community. So it's not like, you know, obviously like a Peloton or any of those great big platforms, which are amazing, but people don't really know who you are. You're just kind of a number. We're like, we have a WhatsApp group chat that everyone chats in all the time. And like people reach out to me for questions all the time. So I still have that nice connection and that coaching connection with them, even though it's a membership based platform and not one-on-one, we still try to offer as much support as we can for our members.
So cool. That's awesome. And for you guys, you said you have live classes every day. Do you just have like one, or do you guys have multiple classes a day that you're teaching?
It depends on the day. Mondays and Thursdays, we have two classes. So my husband teaches as well with me.
Okay.
So like on Mondays, I teach an 8 a.m. class and he teaches a 5:30. And then we try to do it. His classes are shorter. So we have a lot of, since I became a mom, our mom community has definitely grown. Nice. And like, we'll talk about this, I'm sure, but you have way less time. So like a 45 minute workout feels long, whereas a 30 minute workout is a lot more achievable. So I often teach the like 45 minutes and then he'll teach 30. And we try, as long as we have someone to look after our son, we try to take each other's classes. So like I'll get my workout by being the demo in his class, and then I'll get his workout by being the demo in my class.
Cool. So you really like, you follow your programming too?
Oh yeah. 100%.
Cool. That's awesome.
I think is something that we don't see that often with like online creators, you know, they'll post a lot of, oh, they try this new funky move. And I'm like, but then you're going to the gym and you're doing squats and rows and pull-ups and like that's 100%. Your workout.
Yeah.
So it's nice because I'm like, this is exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm following it each week with everybody else. So it's not like, you know, yes, we try to make it fun and things like that, but we really want to make sure that you're getting those foundational strength exercises that are required to like increase your muscle mass and your bone density and like feel good overall.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. So obviously you mentioned a few of the aspects of Body by JoJo that is unique, like, you know, class sizes, just being able to have that community and connection, progressive overload. Is there any other things like kind of that mission behind the brand, like maybe some, you know, values that you guys, you know, instill into your brand?
Yeah, absolutely. So it kind of comes from that idea of focusing on strong over skinny. Mm. So I completely understand people have weight loss goals, people want to lose body fat. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always try to push our clients and our members to focus on working out and eating well to feel good first. Those physical changes are the cherry on top. They will happen. But if we focus so hard on working out just to see physical changes, like, it takes so long to see those changes. You're going to get unmotivated. Yeah. And that's when most people quit. So we really focus on building strength, lifting weights, how we feel as opposed to how we look. And that in turn just really builds that confidence. So I think the main focus for us is the strong over skinny, as well as a balanced lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So like, I think I used to be somebody who was very much like, try to eat absolutely perfectly Monday through Friday. And then the weekend hit and I went like, you know, obviously off track, and then start again on Monday. New diet starts on Monday. So we're very focused on sustainable principles and habits that are going to actually last for a lifetime and make you feel good. And if you want to go for ice cream on a Wednesday night, you can do that, because that's okay. Yeah. It's like part of your 20%. And you don't have to wait till Saturday to kind of blow your entire day.
For sure. That's awesome. And have you noticed, like, have you and your husband, have you guys always built a business together, or has that been like something that's transitioned? And is there a big, like, cause obviously I think that like online fitness is a bit more female dominated. Do you find, is your community like male and women, or?
Yeah, that's a great question. So no, technically not. Sheldon was in, like, he was a personal trainer for like, I believe 12 years, and then left and was working in IT for about 5 years. Then COVID hit, he was still working in IT. My business was kind of taking off, and I was either going to hire somebody or he was going to leave and work with me. So he decided, okay, let's just try it. He left, he started coaching with us, and then doing a lot of the back end stuff that I don't like to do.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah.
He kind of took over that. And I think that in terms of, what was your other question? Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Just like, do you find you have like males on your platform?
Yes.
Yeah.
So recently, so since he's become a coach on the platform, more of our members' husbands or partners have been like interested and have started taking classes with them. So I think that's kind of grown. He also has had some like friends and old colleagues or whatever that have started to work out. I would say we're like 85% women, 90% women. But I think, yeah, because there's a male face to it, people understand like, okay, guys can do this too. And then obviously they look at Sheldon. I'm like, he's got muscle. Like, he's obviously lifting and things like that and making it challenging. So we do have that kind of community that has grown, but I feel like it's a lot of husbands that have been like, oh, you've been doing this for the past year. I thought this was going to be easy. And then they go and do it. They're like, oh, wow, that was really tough.
For sure. No, that's awesome. That's such a really, like, really fun dynamic. Good for you guys. I'm glad that's working so well. All right. Awesome. So yeah, let's just transition, because about how old is your son now?
He is 17 months.
17 months. Okay. So yeah, obviously over last two plus years, because obviously I'm sure there's all this stuff in the beginning and pregnancy and everything like that, it kind of shifted from not just being a business owner with that baby, because I know what that's like, to welcoming in an actual human baby. What was at first, like, I would just love to know, as I said at the beginning here too, selfishly, what was that like of even making that decision for you guys, like, balancing that of like bringing in a baby and being able to manage your business where, like, you don't have maternity leave?
Yeah. And that was something that I was always in the back of my mind, was like, I don't have maternity leave. And I also, unfortunately, it's one of those businesses, they call it like the hit by a bus syndrome, where like, if I was hit by a bus, my business would be gone. Like, I don't have, like, it's me, right? So you can't just take off, you know, even if I could afford it, I couldn't just take off a couple of months, because our membership, for like, sure. You know, what would you do for that?
Yeah.
We considered like hiring somebody, but we found that really our classes were the most attended anyway. People would just end up doing a recording. So for me, it was a lot of anxiety at the beginning. I really had to like plan out exactly what I wanted to do over the mat leave. And we gave, you know, our members a lot of heads up about what was happening. But nice. I was actually so shocked by the amount of people who just reached out and were like, oh my gosh, like, just do what you have to do. We'll be fine. Like, I We do an annual sale. So once a year, you can buy a 1-year membership at a highly discounted rate. And it was falling like right before I gave birth. And I was like, no one's going to buy because they're not going to like know what's happening once I have the baby. I was so nervous. And I think like 99% of our members re-signed on for the year.
Amazing.
Even though I was about to give birth in like 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I was like blown away by that. And everyone was like, it's fine. Like we're there. I think people are in it for you a little bit more. Like they're really cheering you on. And they want you to be successful. So it was a lot of planning. I took off 6 weeks from teaching. Mm-hmm. During that time, Sheldon took off a full 3 weeks. We did some recorded classes. And then he started coming back with like a couple of classes a week. So we kind of planned for it in advance, knowing that we wouldn't have mat leave. So we had been saving money.
Yeah.
So that we had a backup of money if we needed to dip into that. And then we had a lot of help. Like my parents lived close by. We had them come by often. My mom was here a lot. It was definitely adjustment. Like it's definitely an adjustment.
Yeah.
But I think it's 100% worth it. And it's obviously going to be an adjustment no matter when you do it. I was almost like, oh, maybe we should wait a little longer because when I hit this milestone, it'll be easier. Or this milestone, it'll be easier. And I feel like that's really not the case. Like it's going to be tough and a change whenever it happens, but you'll totally adapt.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, I think that's so true. Like even, I'm in like that period of time of like, you know, kind of about to, you know, kind of like, okay, like we're ready to try for that. And I think there's always that, like, you're never going to be fully ready. Right. And especially like, as a business owner, it's like, you got to jump in. And I love that you had such supportive members. And I think that just obviously speaks to like the community that you guys have built. That's really incredible. During your time of pregnancy, how was that like keeping up with your, you know, kind of recording the classes and just like, how did your body respond to, obviously, like you're given a lot of energy into creating this human and being able to keep up with obviously a little bit more of a demanding physical schedule than most people would have with having like, you know, planned classes to record and all that.
For sure. For sure. I think I was pretty lucky. I had a generally pretty easy pregnancy. I was obviously like nauseous in the first trimester, but nothing like debilitating. I feel like I had a lot of naps. I feel like I definitely had to take it easier on myself than I was used to. I think growing up in dance, I was very like disciplined, like harsh on myself. And pregnancy and motherhood has really taught me to just like be a lot easier on myself, take more time for myself and for spending time with Aubrey. And like, I used to feel guilty when I wasn't working because things needed to be getting done. And that has really, I really stepped back on that and I don't feel like that anymore. And I'm kind of like, I feel like I live for more than just work. Like my business is totally my baby, but there are other things to life. Sure. Whereas I feel like before I had Aubrey, I was very much like, this is it. Like I have to do everything like all the time. So I feel like it was definitely hard when I had low energy and like had to go teach a class or things like that. But I napped a lot more. I still worked out the same. Like I still was lifting weights and still was working out. I think I did 4 times a week. I think it was every single week except for the 1 week we were away while I was pregnant. And so I was like 2.5 weeks early and I worked out. Like went into labor. I didn't really know I was in labor. And then I worked out and I was like totally in labor. But yeah, like I still continue to lift weights and things like that. And I got a little bit of like comments on social media, like, you're pregnant. You should be resting or you're pregnant. You know, you don't need to be doing that kind of thing. But I know, you know, from obviously my knowledge in pre and postnatal and everything else like that, that's so not true. So it was nice to just be able to be like, no, not listening to you.
Yeah.
It was hard to kind of adapt some of the core work near the end, though, because I would still have my members doing like ab curls and V-sits and things like that. But I couldn't, I like didn't want to demo them. So I had to really like, okay, this is what we're doing and explain it.
Right.
Because I couldn't actually, at a certain point, I was like, no, I don't want to show anymore. I don't want to risk the ab separation and diastasis recti. So we kind of took it back from there. But it was good. it was good. I think I was lucky that I had an easygoing pregnancy.
Yeah. And like, I mean, as you said too, I think at the beginning here, maybe on or off air, like really bringing in a lot of mothers like into your community too through this. And like, it's so nice to have you as like an instructor for them to like see you go through that workout like right through labor, which I love. It's like so on brand for you. Like, and just like seeing that, right? And your bodies are so capable, and actually, obviously, you know this, but like, so like, we need to prepare for this event, right? And us strength training is just like giving our body the best chance of having, you know, healthiest birth and best recovery and like all of that stuff, right? So that's so positive, right? To see you go through that. And then like for postpartum, you already said, so you took off 6 weeks, which is obviously usually like the recommended, right, of time. So you weren't having to record those classes. So you were just able to give your body that break and then get back into it.
Yeah, we pre-recorded some stuff, and then postpartum, I think because, you know, obviously everyone's experienced differently, but I think because I worked out my entire pregnancy, my recovery was easier. I didn't have the easiest labor, but I had a pretty, an easier recovery. Like I would feel, I think by 2 weeks, I was doing a lot of like core breath and glute bridges. Cool. Like I was able to get back into that kind of stuff already. But I was very adamant about not pushing myself, and I was horizontal a lot. Like I think that a lot of the time we feel at postpartum, you feel like a little bit better, and so you really end up pushing yourself and like, well, I can do this, I can do that, I can go visit this person, and it really impacts the recovery. So knowing that I was coming back to work at 6 weeks and had to be like ready to go, I took the recovery rest period very seriously, and I think having strength trained during my pregnancy helps with the quicker recovery for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think honestly, even that's so good. And like you saying that, I'm sure you've obviously shared that a lot with your community, is like really taking that rest. Like I agree with you. Like that's some of the things I will give to my clients as well postpartum, where I'm like, yeah, I know you haven't been cleared, and I totally agree. Like we need a rest, but yeah, like doing some core breathing, you know, like that's not going to be harmful at that time. But also like, I think we can get so caught up in this like these short terms, right, where it's like, oh my god, okay, in the grand scheme of things it's only a few weeks, but when we're so body focused, right, we can feel this like this kind of anxiety of being not doing anything for multiple weeks. And like having you say that, like where it's like I literally just like lying down taking as much rest as possible, because like at the end of the day, what's the point if you're pushing yourself? And then, yeah, who knows when it's, again, it's a few weeks, it's really not going to matter in like body composition wise, but it could matter if you do some damage, and then that could actually, you know, leave you out longer or, you know, whatever.
For sure. And it's simple things like, I don't think I didn't stand to unload the dishwasher, like stupid things like that. People are like, oh, but you could have. I 100% could have. But just the extra pressure on your pelvic floor while it's trying to heal. I think maybe after 6 days, I started to go for small walks. And once again, I could have gone at day 3. But like, I wasn't ready yet. I needed to give that extra time for the pelvic floor to recover. And I think that, you know, giving yourself the permission mentally to not try to get back to any certain place by a specific date can be really helpful. Like I didn't even really focus on changing body composition until at least 4 months. Then I was like, okay, I think I could probably start putting a little effort towards X, Y, and Z. I obviously ate really well because I always do, but like I was breastfeeding, so I needed so many more calories anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that we put, a lot of women put so much pressure on themselves that like, oh, I want to be like this person who looked like they snapped back by like 6 weeks. And it's like, that's not what's going to make you happy. That's going to make you stressed out and your body stressed out. So just focusing on that recovery. And like you said, those pelvic, any pelvic floor, core breath, all that stuff, you know, generally is safe pretty quickly after, and like was super helpful as well. But yeah, you have to take it slow and do like one step less than you think you can is really what's helpful.
Yeah, that's a good, I was actually just going to ask, like, what, because I know obviously, like, you and me have been in health and fitness for a while, we have definitely the ability to, like, tune in, be more intuitive, and, like, listen to our body versus someone who doesn't. So that's actually a good kind of tip to say, it's like, one step less or like what then you think is possible for you is kind of a good like marker almost. And obviously getting guidance from people that are knowledgeable, because that's like one of the things that I find a bit frustrating in like the pregnancy world, with especially around strength training, is that because obviously we're not going to run a bunch of tests on pregnant women and risk whatever. So it's like when we just don't know, then it's just like, okay, just don't do it. Right. Or there's kind of like arbitrary markers and numbers and things. And I'm always like, when I'm coaching with a client, I'm like, well, it's really dependent, right? Like as we're training through their pregnancy on what's possible for you and not, right? And just like that ability for that woman to tap in more to like what's going on with them versus, you know, maybe what's the narrative out there. And, but you know, it is challenging and it's obviously why it's good to have good guidance. But I do love that just like one step less than you think you can. Is there anything else like with you going through it or coaching women that you recommend or coach on?
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like for postpartum, for sure, one step less. For pregnancy, it can be difficult. I mean, like the general guidelines is like, if you used to do it before, you can continue to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in like, it's very individual. However, there are some things like personally, I don't recommend that my clients continue to like run in sprints as they head into second and third trimester, just because of the extra impact on the pelvic floor is just, I usually think that the risk outweighs the benefits in that situation. But when it comes to strength training and lifting weights, like as long as you're managing your core pressure and you're not seeing any coning or doming and you did it before, like it is still safe. There's obviously some modifications and things like that. But I think for postpartum, like just really being easy on yourself. Like my midwife said to me, I think there was, I don't remember what checkup it was, but I was like, oh, I'm feeling like some pelvic floor pressure by the end of the day. And she's like, cause that's an indication that you've done too much the day before. So then you would scale back. And like the too much was me going for like one 15 minute walk. Like it wasn't a lot. And I'm like, how is that too much? Like I haven't really been doing anything. You feel good. And you're like, I want to move again.
Gotcha.
But like you're at the end of the day, those tissues are not ready to have that pressure all, you know, all day long, because it's really not just a 15 minute walk. Then you're getting up to go to the bathroom, then you're getting up to grab a snack, then you're going down the stairs to do this, then you're picking up your baby, and you're it's all those little things that are adding up. So really resting as much as possible, and if you are early postpartum, if you are feeling pressure by the end of the day, it's a good indication that like, okay, tomorrow I need to do less and spend more time like relaxing, lying on my back, essentially.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's so helpful. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that until you go through it, it's hard to know too, right? Like, you're like, I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Because like,
I'm sure each pregnancy is different too, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I was to get pregnant again, maybe the postpartum experience would be very different. But I found that helpful because she was like, if you feel that, you've done too much. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Amazing. And now, like, now with obviously like full on toddler life, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother realm of a challenge, right? Just balancing work and even just things like this, right? Finding time, quiet time, do podcasts or whatever it is. You guys are obviously both home with them. So is it just, you know, kind of about scheduling, balancing that kind of idea and making sure you're, you know, obviously prioritizing time with Aubrey as well?
Yeah, so kind of what happened, we went through a little bit of a transition period when after the 6 weeks, we both tried to go back to work pretty normal. Like, obviously, I wasn't working as full-time, but we were both trying to be, like, pretty full-time employees of the company, and I think it was about 6 months in, we were like, this isn't working. We're both, like, stressed that we're not getting the stuff that we want to get done. We're also not, like, present as much with him because we trying to multitask and, you know, take care of him while we do something, answer the quick emails and that kind of thing. So at that point, my husband decided that he would kind of take a pseudo paternity leave.
Right.
So I kind of went back to work more full time and Aubrey was with my husband for most of the time. Now we're kind of a bit more balanced and I'm working like, I don't know, like more than part time, but less than full time compared to before. Cause I feel like I used to work a ton. Like I was working like 50, 60 hour work weeks. Now I'm not doing that. So it's a lot of scheduling. We don't, like, if I'm honest, we don't have the best sleeper. So it's really hard for us to be like, oh, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and I have a 5 hour like a work block in the morning. Like if I get up, he'll probably get up. Like, it just doesn't work well that way. So we try to do our best to manage where I can have some time to block off for like 4 hours to do work, and then we'll switch. And then my parents are close by, so we use that quite a bit as well. And it's kind of, it has been working for us so far. It's definitely a juggle, and it's definitely like a different than how things used to be. But I find you get so much more efficient. Like, things that used to take me an hour now take me like 15 minutes. I don't know how. It's just like, you just don't have time to waste. So it's just like, you get it done and then you're moving on. I also am like less of a perfectionist, probably in like a good way. Whereas before I was like, oh, this is going to take me an hour because I want to make it absolutely perfect. And it takes me way less time because I'm like, this looks great. Should I spend another 45 minutes on it to make it perfect? No, it's not worth it. And just kind of move on from there.
Cool. That's awesome. It's almost like you almost get like better at managing your time because you just don't have it, right? So you're like,
yeah, exactly. You don't have it. And I think just like expectations of yourself also, especially at the beginning of postpartum, just like, you know, you used to work out, say, 5 days a week. Like, if that's not going to happen at the beginning, that's okay. You might eventually get back to that, but you might not, and that's fine. And then, you know, even with workouts for myself, like sometimes I would do 15 minutes, then he'd wake up from his nap and I'd have to breastfeed him, and then I'd have to get a snack and blah, blah, blah. And it was like a whole thing. And then I'd do the other 15 minutes later.
Right.
And for a little while that felt quite, like, I felt defeated by that. I was like, I can't even get in a full workout, but it works. And eventually it does get better. And now I can easily do a full workout and it's fine. But like, I think you just have to adjust your expectations and understand that everything is really temporary.
Right. I was just going to say that. Yeah. That like transient, like temporary. Do you, is there anything that you do? Like, one of the things for me that I guess is like something I like constantly kind of think about, because I'm a huge like me time, personal care gal, where I'm like, I want like an hour of silence in the morning. Obviously that's not going to be really realistic. Was there anything like that for you that you still like, is it, you know, you're like, go to Sheldon or your parents or whatever and be like, you know, I need X, Y, and Z for me. Otherwise, like, I'm gonna burst. Like, is there anything that you kind of feel like is your past life that is something that maybe you're like, either like feels like you don't have anymore, or you've tried to really prioritize because it's so important to you and just like found another way to do it?
That's a good question. So like, my workouts are my number one thing that like my parents will sometimes come over so I can do the class with Sheldon or whatever. Like, that's definitely a priority. I don't really get much me time anymore, but I feel like I've changed a little bit in the fact that I don't need it as much. Like, sure, it's nice. Like, when, you know, Sheldon and I have done a trip without Aubrey and we were away and we're like, oh, wow, this is really nice to be like out and, you know, not have to worry about a baby right now. But I feel like the me time that I used to need in my every single day, I just would rather be with him. If that makes sense. Like, I would rather spend that time with him. So it doesn't bother me as much that I'm not getting it. But after he goes to bed, we definitely like, you know, watching a TV show or like doing something like that definitely helps to kind of decompress from the day and like makes you feel like you're doing something that's a little bit mindless and not towards helping someone else achieve something really. But yeah, I think maybe just, I just don't need it as much at the moment. I mean, things might change for that, but at the moment I feel like I'm working, and then the times that I have that I'm not working, I want to be with him.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I mean, that seems to be obviously a lot of people's story, and like, you know, like that makes sense, right? Like, when you have a child, like obviously like everything changes, everything normally changes for the better. And yeah, like I think that huge part of that too, like, you know, post pregnancy, it's like, you know, same thing with like our body, like not trying to get our body back to what it was. Like, it's a new body now, right? And the same thing with like your life, like, we're not trying to get our life back to what it was. Like, that's impossible. Like, it's a new life now, right? Like, it's,
I do think girls' nights though, that has kind of like, I still try to get together with my friends like once every 10 days or whatever it is, like with a group of us that get together. Like, that definitely helps to refresh and regenerate my energy. I do feel like that does help a lot to have some time away. And then that kind of feels like you're not your old life, but a little bit more of what you're used to, for sure. But yeah, you become a different person. And I think a lot of the time, at least sometimes on social media, there's like the good and bad side of social media, but sometimes we see it in a negative way, right? Where you're like, oh, your life is going to be changed. It's over. You can't travel. You can't do this. You never get to do anything you want. And I really think it's all about your like mindset and approach to it, like reframing it. Yeah, we don't get to do the exact same things, but we still travel. We went to North Carolina. We were living there for 6 weeks with Aubrey. Nice. Went to Tampa, lived for 2 months. Like, we're going to New Zealand in a couple of weeks. Like, you just, it's your choice. You choose to do it or you choose to not. It's obviously harder. Like, yeah. It's not as relaxing.
Yeah.
And it's more difficult. But if it's important to you, then it's worth still doing it. So I think it's kind of all about how you approach this like new version of your life.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Are you, you're from New Zealand? Yes or no?
My mom is.
Your mom is. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So going
her
for
family's there.
Nice. So I'm sure you're going for an extended period of time so far.
Yeah, we're going for 3 weeks. I would love to have gone for longer, but just because of the time change and the class schedule,
true.
We couldn't do it. So we're taking like one full week off and then we're teaching some classes live. I think it's like, because if we were to teach at 8 a.m., it was like 3 a.m. or something crazy like that. So that obviously wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But yes, we're going for 3 weeks. So it'll be a good amount of time. But yeah, I'm really excited.
Nice.
And it's fun to kind of experience those like travels through the, your kids' eyes too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Awesome. So yeah, let's just kind of wrap things up. Obviously, I know through following you on social media, we definitely align on some things as far, I mean, I feel like most things as far as kind of strength and diet, nutrition, and just helping women with body composition. I know that's something I see on your story a lot. So I'd love to know if someone was coming to you, like a client came to you to want to lose fat, what is kind of your approach? Obviously, I know everyone's individual, depends on things, but what are some of the kind of basic things that you really focus on with that client?
Yeah, for sure. So I work with like two different kind of groups of people. I think because I have an experience with dance, I have a lot of people who have previous disordered eating that come to me. Mm-hmm. So if they come to me, we don't track food. We do different ways. But let's just say that's not the case and someone's tracking their food and happy to. I like to look at their food intake for like a week or so, just naturally. I find that some people who have been, who come to me, who have been trying to lose weight are really under eating.
Yeah.
So their metabolism has really slowed down. So generally, I'll start with trying to increase their calories so that we get them to a base maintenance level. That's not going to mean that their deficit is like 1,200 calories, because that's obviously not what we want.
Yeah.
So really trying to boost their calories up before dropping down into a calorie deficit. Focus on high protein, lots of veg. We're a big believer in having like one big ass salad a day just to make sure we're getting extra veggies in. Protein with each meal, like we, I'm sure like you do, it's a high focus on protein. Strength training, of course, and steps is a big one for us, like making sure you are getting some movement in. I think that a lot of people focus on the calories that they're burning from their workouts and like, oh, I worked out today, so that's enough. And it's like, well, you know, 70% of our caloric burn is just from our, the little movements that we do in our daily life, right? So that needs to be increased to see changes. And then there's those areas like sleep and stress that we totally forget about, making sure that we're getting enough sleep, getting good quality sleep, reducing stress in ways that we can. So really looking at, you know, first to see what are their previous habits? Are they under eating, potentially correcting that, making sure that we are getting enough protein, steps, strength training. And then most people, I unfortunately have to really focus on, which is a good thing long-term, but like on that balance, because you either have people who are like, okay, I'm going to be perfect at this for our 4 month program. And you kind of have to be like, okay, no, please go eat a piece of chocolate. Like you have to have that balance. Otherwise this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Or you have people that are doing like great Monday to Thursday, and then they're like wine and brunch and all of that stuff all throughout the entire weekend to then reset on Monday, and they're frustrated they're not seeing change. So it's a lot of mindset coaching, and I'm sure you experience the same, but I would say like so much of it is mindset, because if it wasn't, anybody could do it. The answers are already out there.
Yeah.
You know what to do. Most people do know what to do. Obviously there's some things that people need help with, but most of the time it's that we don't have the correct mindset to be able to achieve our goals. It's not that there's some magical ticket that I'm like, here it is, like this is what you need to follow.
Yeah, for sure.
It's more that they need you as a coach to help them get there.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you find are the biggest things kind of mindset-wise, like, that you assist with? Like, I think you mentioned you do, like, 4 months of coaching normally. Yeah. 4 months, yeah. So, obviously,
that's, like minimum. I would say most people minimum. Do longer than that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So, at least, like, right, that consistency, right? So, it's, like, consistency over time. And do you do, like, weekly check-ins and things like that, or?
Yeah. So, right now we do a bi-weekly phone call. For the first couple weeks of the program, I have them weekly just so that people can kind of have that check-in.
Yeah.
And then on the weeks that there's not a phone call, it's an online check-in form, and really just kind of assessing like what their macros look like through the week. Did they get all their workouts in? Are they having any issues with hitting their macros or anything like that, meal prepping, that kind of stuff. And in terms of mindset, I think the biggest ones are the 80-20 principle. I feel like people do really struggle with that. And a little bit of that kind of feeds into a bit of self-sabotage. So, mm-hmm. you know, when someone goes out for pizza and wine on a Friday night, then they start to feel really guilty. That ends up spiraling into going out on Saturday for brunch and drinking. And then it's like, oh, whatever, I'll just start on Monday. And yeah. obviously, as you know, that pattern is just really holding someone back from seeing any change. Yeah. So I think that's a really big thing. I also find when it comes to workouts, maybe I don't know if you find this as well, I don't think people really realize how hard you need to push yourself.
Mm.
Like, you can't just use 10 pounds for your bicep curls for like 4 months and then you'll see right. a change that way. Like, you, even though by the fourth month, it might still feel hard, but I think some people feel like when it starts to burn, that's when they right. stop. And it's like, that's when the set starts.
Yeah.
That's when
yeah.
you have to keep going. So that kind of mindset shift around pushing yourself in workouts, and that doesn't mean, I think to a lot of people, that means like you're super sweaty, you feel exactly. like you're going to puke, you need yeah. to lie down after. It's like, no, that's not what that means. We're pushing ourselves to the fact we're like, could we have lifted heavier? Are your last couple of reps feeling like, wow, I'm really going to compromise my form if I keep going, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's a big mindset shift for a lot of people too, especially mm-hmm. if they aren't yeah. used to training that way.
It's cool too, probably for you, because I would think that most, or maybe all, that the clients you coach nutritionally, mindset-wise, also do your workouts.
Yeah. So then yeah. hopefully, depending on timing, they'll come to the live classes, which we do it through Zoom. So like, we can see their form and stuff. So that really helps us to be like, okay, I think, because right. sometimes people need the like permission or like reminder of like, hey, you should try a push it from your toes. You can probably do
for
it.
For sure. Absolutely.
right. And yeah, we yeah. see that all the time. And they're like, whoa, I did it. And then sometimes a client will do it and they do 5. I'm like, okay, you could have been doing this for like 6 months, right?
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
So they need that push. And so they get that through the live classes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Do you find with your nutrition clients, your coaching and body comp, is there like, not like resistance, but like, do you find like as your journey goes, like there's maybe doubt of trusting the process because of like the possibly different approach than what they've had in the past of like more sustainable versus like, here's 1200 calories, you're going to drop 10 pounds in a week. Like, great job.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, a lot of the time, it'll be a couple weeks in and people will be like, oh, no, you know what? A lot of the time when I first send someone their plan, they're like, oh my God, the calories are way too high, or whoa, that's way too many carbs, that kind of thing. And I'm right. like, hey, you just have to trust the process. I promise it will work.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes people get to the point where like, oh, you know, I'm not seeing as much change as I wanted to yet. Like, do you think I should try like dropping calories more or dropping my carbs more or things like that? And then I really try to remind them, I'm like, okay, what have you done in the past? Like that, you know, maybe you have done that in the past. Did that really work?
Right.
The answer is no, because otherwise you wouldn't be here with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I try to remind them, like, we're doing it differently because the different way that we're doing it is going to get you a different result than you've gotten in the past. And
yeah.
that usually helps people kind of continue. I think that it really just like body recomposition, weight loss, like all of that takes way longer than most people mm-hmm. think. And so I find it really helpful to establish expectations at the beginning too. You know, if someone says, oh, I want to lose 20 pounds, I'm like, okay, great. That might take you 4 to 8 months, depending on, you know, what you're focused on. And I think a lot of people are really quick to be like, oh, I could lose 20 pounds in 2 months because I saw Aunt Judy did it, you know, right. that kind of thing. It's like, yeah. well, how did she do it, right? Like, what did she do that got her there? And that's not the approach that you want to take.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. This is kind of one other question, is just around, yeah, I guess like I feel like it was maybe just the results that you got, but since you started in more of like dance and then obviously like bars, like a bit, but you know, still kind of more body weight focused, did you find, like, personally for you, is it pretty easy transition into lifting heavier weights? And do you find, is that something you either, like, you know, have to challenge your female clients to do, which I think you kind of just said yes, like, to do heavier weights, and, you know, really, really, like, you know, showing them of, like, the importance of not just resistance training with, like, 5 pounds or body weight. Was that challenging for you, first off, like, getting into it, or no, because you saw the results so quick?
No, I think because I saw the results of it, I wasn't really, I think previously I thought, like, oh, if you lift heavier, you'll get bulky. But I think once I was actually in it, and I was, you know, so much of it is nutrition, realistically. Right. So once I was actually in it, strength training and, you know, prioritizing proper nutrition as well, and I saw those results, then I felt okay with that. But I think for a lot of my clients or like people on social media or whatever, like they do still think that you would get bulky from lifting weights. Oh, but I don't, you know, I get that a lot on intake calls. Oh, you're but I don't want to lift too heavy because I don't want to get bulky. And I usually ask them, like, well, do you think I'm bulky? And they're like, no. And I'm like, I've been lifting, I lift, you know, I'm squatting this weight or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, you would have to intentionally, like, I'm trying to gain muscle right now and it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. You have to eat enough. For so I'm sure. Like, you really have to intentionally try to gain muscle. And that's not really, you know, what is it going to be a big concern is getting bulky from lifting weights. So there is that resistance. There's also, I find, educating people on the fact that after the age of 30, sarcopenia starts to happen, which is like that natural decrease of your muscle mass as you age. Yeah. And the only way to combat that is through strength training. And if you don't lift heavy enough, you're not going to be putting enough resistance on the muscle for it to then grow. Same thing with bone density. We're losing bone density. So if you don't put enough resistance, you're not going to be maintaining the bone density that you have. And I did on my podcast, I did a recording with a naturopathic doctor, and she was talking a lot about that and how she's really pushing that with a lot of her older clients because they're just very weak, low muscle, you know, low bone density. And that's where that strength training really comes in. So if you're listening to this and you're not strength training, I highly recommend getting on it. I promise you will not get bulky.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's like one of the big shifts, even for me, like not that I ever worried about that, but it is just like in your 30s, like you just start thinking about the longevity piece so much more, you know what I mean? And you're just like for me, I'm just like I would never not do this, right? Because of like just you just, and I think also the research is just like becoming more and more boundless of like the information out there. So it's just, but I know for me, like, for my family, like, they're always like, what are you doing in the gym? Like, why are you doing that? Like, just go outside. And like, I remember I got that all the time growing up. And now, like, you know, I'm really trying to educate my mom on that. I'm like, yeah, you're active, which is great. But it's like, especially it's like, if you're not putting your body under heavier loads over time, like, you're at risk for that stuff too, right? So it's just like activity and it is a bit different, you know, and there's purpose for doing reps of, like, you know, exercise with load. Like, there's purpose behind that other than just the way we look, you know?
Absolutely. And like, activity is great and we want to do it, but like, if your activity is, if you look at like cycling, for instance, you're not working your back or your shoulders or your, like, any of that stuff. You need to, or your chest or whatever, you're not working your upper body at all. So if that's your only form of exercise, like, you need to be doing something else as well, in order to kind of balance out your body. And I am the same way. Like, I feel like, especially after having Aubrey, I look at it a lot more because, like, I see my parents with him and, like, they're quite capable and quite fit and, like, what they're able to do with, like, picking him up and moving him over here and grabbing him before he falls and, like, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I want to be able to do that when I'm a grandparent. I don't want to be a grandparent that, like, has to take 10 minutes to, like, stand up off their chair in order to go sit with their grandson, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's so important. And I think doctors are starting to push it a lot more, like you said, because of the research. What I sometimes see, and I'm curious if you see this as well, is that people, they don't really like it. They're like, I don't really like strength training, but I love Pilates. I get that a lot. I'm like, okay, so I get it. I don't like necessarily going to the dentist, but you do it anyway because it's good for your health.
Yeah.
can we find a way to do, okay, maybe you do 2 strength training workouts a week and then you do your Pilates on the other days and those are your fun workouts, if you want to call them that. But I think that no matter who you are, unfortunately, whether you like it or not, like, of course, it's easier to stick to something that you like. So maybe try to find a trainer or an instructor or someone that you enjoy spending time with. But we still need to do it, even if it's not our favorite form of exercise.
Absolutely. Like, I think again, at this point, like, obviously the earlier you started, the better. But especially once you enter your 30s, like, you just have to look at it as like a supplement, right? Like a pill, like, or not even a supplement because you don't need those. But like, you know what I mean? Like something that like you're taking for your health in your long term, not just necessarily like, oh, this is something fun for me to do. Like, no, this is a necessity. And exactly what you said, like, you don't have to work out 5 times a week, right? Like 2 strength sessions, full body strength sessions, you're good. You know, just again, make sure you're challenging yourself.
A big misconception as well is the amount of times, like right now I work out maybe 3 to 4 times a week and people are always like shocked by that.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
Like, how do you look the way you do and do that? And I'm like, well, I just do like that. I feel like most of the time people assume that you have to be working out like 5 or 6 days a week. And that often holds a lot of people back. They're like, I don't have the time for that. Or that feels daunting or whatever. And we have members that come to us or like, I have clients who, if they're super busy, we start with 1 session a week. Like, what is better? Sure. Do I want you working out more?
Yeah, I want you
working out more than once a week, but that's better than nothing. And that's still going to be 52 more workouts than you would be doing in a year if you didn't do it one
exactly.
a week. Right?
Yeah. I love that breakdown. You were even seeing too, like you have different class time too, right? Like not everything's like, or even, I don't know, maybe there's not even 60 minutes, but like not everything's 60 minutes even, right? You can take a shorter class.
Yeah. We have 30, but between 30 minutes and 45. Our longest is 45 now. They used to be a bit longer, but we try to be quite efficient. And because not everyone has like the most heavy weights at home, we kind of program it in a way, like a lot of unilateral work and things like that. So you don't need to take quite as much rest because you're heading into the other leg anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a bit more efficient that way. Yeah.
Amazing. All right. Well, we'll wrap things up. This was amazing. Thank you so much for being so open and vulnerable with all of your conversation, especially around pregnancy and your business. I feel like this will be helpful for like anyone who either like wants to change their body composition, is an entrepreneur or a mom. Like, I feel like we covered a lot of different topics. So that was awesome. If you wouldn't just mind sharing with the audience, what is one thing that you do on a daily basis that helps you be your best self that, you know, during that day, that 1% better every day?
Going for a walk.
Love it.
I think it makes such a huge difference. And like outside, I just got a walking pad. It's not quite the same. It'll still work. But going for a walk outside, I feel like no matter what kind of mood I am, if I go for a walk, I always feel a lot better afterwards. Obviously helps with the fitness goals overall, but like just mindset and mentality makes a huge difference for sure.
Yeah. So totally agree. Even in like the winter, right? Bundle up, get out there.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Everyone's always like, it's so cold. I'm like, yeah, we live in Canada. Okay. Like,
I know. It is pretty brutal though, but you got to do it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. That was a great answer. And thank you so much for being here. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience before you go?
Thanks for having me. It was a really great conversation.
Yeah.
Where
can they find you?
If you want to give me a follow on Instagram, my handle's at It's Jojo Meezy. And you can check out our classes at bodybyjojo.com. And I'm open to any questions as well. If you're like an entrepreneur and thinking about getting pregnant, or if you're pregnant and you're wondering, you know, certain exercises, that kind of thing, just send me a DM. I love to kind of chat with the community. And so don't be shy about reaching out.
Amazing. And yeah, you just started a new podcast as well.
I did. Yes. Yeah. I started a podcast called Strong Over Skinny. Right now it's on Spotify and, kind of talking it. I call them like pep talks kind of thing. So they're shorter episodes that kind of around a certain coaching topic. So like we had one after the holidays of like how to get back into the mindset without feeling like you're restricting yourself. And those kind of coaching moments that you might need in your ear, throughout the week and things like that can be really helpful for a lot of people.
Yeah, I love that. Amazing. All right. Thank you so much, Jojo. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.